Near FM.
Dearest, darling, I had to write to say that I won't be home anymore, for something happened to me while I was driving home, and I'm not the same anymore. Oh, I was only 24 hours from Tulsa, only a day away from your arms. I saw welcoming light and stopped to rest for the night, and that is when I saw her. As I pulled in outside of the small motel, she was there, and so I walked up to her, asked where I could get something to eat, and she showed me where. Oh, I was only 24 hours from Tulsa, only one day away from your arms. She took me to the cafe, asked her if she would stay. She said, okay. I was only 24 hours from Tulsa, one day away from your arms. The jukebox started to play, and nighttime turned into day. As we were dancing closely, all of a sudden I lost control as I held her charms, and I caressed her, kissed her, told her I'd die before I would let her out of my arms. Oh, I was only 24 hours from Tulsa, only one day away from your arms. I hate to do this to you, but I love somebody new. What can I do when I can never, never, never go home again?
As long as I'm listening to it, he's still 24 hours from Tulsa. I am joined on the line now by a very, very happy Donegal man, editor of the Northside People, Patrick Conlon. Patrick, well done yesterday. 1 point victory, but a win is a win.
Cheers, Tony. Thanks very much. And fairness now, Kerry were missing the Cliffords and Johnny O'Shea and a few other, but we were missing a few as well, so we'll take that. It was good to see a bit of thrilling footballs this time of the year.
Isn't it unbelievable? Now, obviously, the Northside People will not be covering that this week, but you have other matters at hand.
We do, yeah. Various stories. I suppose there's, you know, ongoing issues with, you know, I suppose protests, would you call them, against refugees and asylum seekers in various areas, and that being discussed again. We had to deal with a comment. We did a story on the Fairview welcome in last week's paper, and I got messages saying that we're all part of they were all actors and it was all staged by the state, and we're all in on it as well. But so we can clear that up for if that person is listening, we're not involved in any conspiracy.
Well, I'm not sure if you were listening to my interview with Dean MacDonald at 11:30 from the far right observatory, but we fairly well put a lot of meat on those bones in relation to people like that and their nefarious messages.
Yeah, I must actually listen back to that. Yeah, no, because I was on a phone call at that stage, like, so I didn't get. I'd usually listen in a bit to your show before.
That is no excuse, dear boy.
But no, it is getting quite concerning. All right, you know, I've seen some of the videos that have been posted now. it is quite strange. People have commented that if this was any other group within society making these threats, making these videos, threatening to shoot people and kill people, like, you know, they'd be arrested. Like, you know, I had a friend of mine who was involved with the housing activism for a long time, a very close friend of mine, and they would do stuff, you know, they're campaigning for all aspects to do with housing. But he was routinely and regularly visited by an Garda Síochána, off and on over a space of a few years. Just they would call in now and again, see what he was up to, and have a chat with him and stuff. So that's why I was chatting to him over the weekend. He was saying he finds it strange that these people don't, or maybe they are being visited by an Garda Síochána, but they seem fairly confident with their with these videos and stuff. But what did you guys kind of come up
with?
Well,
basically, I mean, it was far right activism mixed in with a bit of conspiracy theory and the ulterior motives at hand and all that, and the amount of misinformation and disinformation doing the rounds emanating from these sources, and that people should be very careful before buying into these theories, because there is no substance to them. And I'm sure I did make the point that there is any of these people from these organizations who wish to come on here and talk to me are more than welcome. I won't hold my breath, and I'm sure that there's very few of them will chat to you either for an article for the Northside People.
No, because I think they think that we're all kind of part of this conspiracy as well, the mainstream media, that we're complicit in whatever kind of madness. It was great. Did you see the Richard Chambers documentary from Virgin Media there over the weekend? I saw it over the weekend about Trump's rise to power. It was interesting. They spoke with I think he was a congressman. He left the Republican Party because of the madness and the threats and everything, and, you know, it wasn't for him. But he explained, like, it's very hard dealing with these people because they live in a fantasy world, and, you know, people live in a fantasy world. It's very hard to kind of, you know, any understanding or any, you know, meeting of minds, really, do you know what I mean?
Worrying, you know, and it's the rise of this far right and their theories and their thinkings, but you see, it's the damage that they're doing throughout society,
yeah,
which, when it is going to be tackled, I think the big worry, certainly for me, is that it will have gone too far to be, if you'll pardon the Garda phrase, arrested. Whereas now is the time to nip this in the bud. Now, I do, I am aware of a statement issued by Garda Commissioner Drew Harris, where he said that they are looking at all these organisations, and you know, that they are giving fair root and branch and scrutiny to them at the moment. So we'll see what the fallout or the follow up from that is.
Yeah, well, as we don't want, like, we've seen it in other countries, like, you know, as public representatives being murdered. You know, these people have gone to people's homes, stood outside people, you know, public representatives' homes. You know, something needs to be done. These are all, you know, I suppose Drew Harris is saying what people want them to hear, but these people, they seem to be very confident. They don't seem to be acting like people that are being visited by an Garda Síochána on a regular basis, that are being, you know, being maybe threatened with, you know, being dragged in front of the courts. Well, if they are, maybe they're just extremely blasé about it, but it appears that they, like, these people turning up in Ashtown, like, with weapons and dogs and stuff to set about, you know, people living in tents, that's, like, you know, this is serious stuff now, and I don't know, I'd rather see the guards do take some kind of proper hard action. Obviously, they have to operate within the bounds of the law, but, you know, I'd be very worried about it, to be honest with you. These people are not kind of copus mentis, is the word for it, is it? You know, they kind of live in a kind of, you know, imaginary world. So,
Yeah, and I mean, the other side of that just in relation to that Ashtown one, which is why I'm not going to discuss it much further, Padraig. Your colleague and Kitty Holland from the Irish Times was actually on site with a photographer when that happened. So I mean, there may be a fairly immediate follow on to that. So the less we discuss about that, maybe the better. And hopefully, as I say, there will be a follow on to it, because that's reprehensible. I mean, these people, other than being on county council land or corporation land or whatever it is out there, public land, they were doing nothing wrong, you know, and have done nothing wrong. And that is very, very important that we reiterate that fact. They, other than being where they shouldn't be, but they were there for obvious reasons, they did nothing wrong. So, I mean, you will see a lot of stuff on social media which bears absolutely no you know, resemblance to fact or truth or real life, and it's gone around social media as if it's factually correct, which, when it obviously isn't, you know that. But I mean, you and I know how to interrogate information.
Yeah.
Most ordinary people would take it, sure, if it's there, it must be right.
Exactly. But as we were saying before as well, there's a lot of them protagonists who are also anti mask, they were anti lockdown measures.
And it's a funny thing, like, we discussed that in my chat with Niamh McDonald, where these groups all seem to come together under the one umbrella to talk about everything that's anywhere based on a conspiracy theory. They all group together under that umbrella. Anyway, that's depressing enough. Give us more news there, Padraig.
Well, I suppose a bit of better news, and with Donegal link as well. DCU last week celebrated their most, I don't know, successful or well-known alumni. They presented them with awards as at a function in the Helix, and Donegal's very own God himself, Michael Murphy, was there. Of course, he graduated from DCU with a degree in PE and biology, I think it was 2013. Then we had Cliona Ní Chruilleoga, producer of on Colleen Kuhn, which has been nominated for an Oscar. She was there as well. She picked up on an alumni as well. I think she graduated in 2012, I think it was. A few other very well-known faces as well. So nice to a bit of good news. We had details, of course, of that manager of the corporate lounge in Dublin Airport, who was jailed for 6 years, who was involved in a bit of drug dealing, which was quite an unusual story. A story about Fingal councillor who wants to the government to allow for local authorities to set speed limits lower than 30 kilometres an hour. It's Paul Mulville, Sock Dem councillor for Rush Lusk. He says speed limits in most residential areas should be 15 kilometres. Not going to go down well with a lot of people. I kind of agree with him, I think, as well. I see some places people going a bit too fast in kind of built up areas where children and older people are operating. We've story about Mountain View, who won that community, who won at the All-Ireland Pride of Place Community Awards. So we have plenty of stuff, plenty of reading to keep people occupied.
And the other thing then, Patrick, was I just want to harp back to something which is probably very unfair on you, but it's something we discussed, I think, probably two or three times before, and I just wonder if there is any updates on it. And that was the less than efficient bus services out around Fingal. Have we had any improvement on that? Because there was some fairly damning evidence there in relation to children being late for school, people being late for work because of an inadequate bus service.
Yeah, well, we've had a couple of things from you know, comments from readers and that on online stories. I don't know if it's improved that much. It was coming from, I suppose, you know, it was coming ridiculous. We have even colleagues as well who were dealing with it. I know the council have they released more info last week on they want to get a Greenway bus service in operation as well, but people were saying maybe they should sort out the actual road bus services that aren't operating at the moment. So it's calmed down a little bit as regards, so I'd have to obviously, you know, look into it a bit more than that, but we haven't had as much I suppose stuff coming in from councillors and from commuters on it, so at the moment I think maybe things might be okay, but I can't say for definite now. Have you heard much yourself?
No, I haven't, and I was just wondering, because you would have maybe closer affinity with the people that having spoken to them before, and I was just wondering, was there any improvement in it? Because, you know, things are moving on, and more people are going to be moving into that area, and if the bus service doesn't pick up to get up to speed to accommodate the population out there, not alone is it not going to improve, it's going to get worse.
No, absolutely. Like, there was... the bus companies are saying a lot of it was coming down to personnel, lack of personnel, so maybe recruitment drive has helped. I know, like, even Dublin Bus are heavily advertising, even on the side of the buses. I saw one there over the weekend. Do you want to drive this bus for €815 a week or whatever?
I have seen that so many times that I, you know, it's well, I suppose in the greater scheme of things, if you have the licence, or even if you want to, it's while 815 mightn't seem a lot in the context of today, it's still decent money, but it's the perks that go along with it, I suppose, pension and healthcare and stuff like that, that would make it attractive to people as well.
Absolutely. Of course, you know, the bus companies were all fined heavily as well, like, so maybe these fines started to kind of put the feet in the fire, and they've, but yeah, we haven't had as much so going on that, I suppose, maybe things haven't deteriorated anyway, but I will look into it now.
Anything else, Patrick, that we should be looking out for in this week's edition of the North Side People?
Staying on the transport theme, yeah, of course the NTA published their big plan last week for the development of transport infrastructure in Dublin over the next 20 years, and a bit of North Side interest in it obviously as well. You know, Lewis routes planned for Tyrrellstown, Balgriffin, Blanche. I think there's talk as well in among us of you know, with the metro, dare we say, with the metro and Lewis lines, the Finglas, so there's information on all that as well. You know, the Finglas metro link story is another one that I'm sure you've covered it in depth as well down the years.
Well, I'll tell you, if half the buildings they're talking about having to knock down to make way for it are knocked down, there'll be nothing left. I actually seen, I don't know if I'm telling you this one or not, but I actually seen something there about that the Brian Boru was going to have to be demolished to take that link. I mean, look, being honest with you, Patrick, between the two of us, we're knocking around a fair length of time. I read a lot of these plans as being aspirational rather than factually going to happen.
Absolutely, there's big time. You know, the amount of money that was even spent, remember, initially on the metro, then it was shelved, then it was back on the table again. It's, yeah, in Ireland I think we do it especially good as well. We're especially better at doing these big plans, and everybody's filled with hope that it's going to happen, and then suddenly it's like, nah. I know people who have my aunt and uncle, they live close to up in Collins Avenue. I think they'd sold their house and moved it because it was compulsory purchase, you know, where the track was supposed to be going near Collins Avenue. That was like 6 years ago or something like. And you know, obviously we're another 20 years away from it still, so yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, is a good way of putting that one, Patrick. I presume it has not escaped your notice that next Monday is the bank holiday, so we won't be chatting.
Any plans yourself?
Well, it coincides with a birthday, so is all I can say to you. So,
Is it yours?
Yes.
Max. So, what, is it a landmark one or?
No, I had the landmark one last year, so it's just another. It's a plus one on
another year
from last year. So we might be in the recovery ward. Not that I'm advocating that to anybody, but it mightn't be a bad way to spend a bank holiday Monday, in fairness. I will check
what day,
you.
What day does the birthday fall then?
It falls on the 6th.
On the 6th. Well, wish you a very happy birthday in advance. Unfortunately, we'll not get to spend the time together on the phone.
You're so nice. Patrick, we'll chat in 2 weeks' time, and
cheers, man.
We'll see what developments are there. And as always, the Northside People is available at all good outlets, and a few that mightn't be so good, but it's anywhere you are, you'll see it just inside the door. Pick it up, have a read of it. In fact, it's down here, I think, as well, Patrick, at the just inside the door of the Civic Centre. There's copies of it available there for people as well. In the meantime, my friend, I will talk to you in 2 weeks, and thanks a million for your contribution today.
No problem. Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me, and enjoy the birthday. All the best.
Take care. No, bye-bye. There he is, folks. That's Patrick Hanlon, editor of the Northside People, and as I said, available wherever you shop.
Across Northeast Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.